Just our little introduction, evangelism, the call to go out into the world, make disciples, to preach the gospel. I forget who said it, but we should preach the gospel everywhere and use words if necessary. You ever heard that before? Preach the gospel everywhere and use words if necessary. In other words, live the gospel life. And, you know, then I've also heard people go to the extreme of that and say, you don't have to say a word, just live it. Okay, that's a cop-out. You got to live it. You got to speak it, right? So that's evangelism and apologetics, is giving a defense for that hope that is in you. Why do you believe that? How could you believe that? How could you? As one guy stood right here in this, right down this middle thing one time, he visited. He was a referral, in a sense. He's an older guy. And he wanted to talk. He said, that was really an interesting sermon you gave. But I'd like to ask you something. I said, what? And he goes, what do you think about aliens now that we have proof they exist? And I went, oh, the guy's nuts. I said, we have proof? He goes, yeah, our government admitted it. And I said, no, they didn't. Oh, yeah, they did. You'll see. Anyway, good message. Why do I believe what I believe? I need to be able to explain that to people in a way that they want to hear it. And what does Peter say at the end there? How should we present it? What's it say at the very end? With gentleness and respect. I'm going to repeat that all the time because this isn't a contest. We're not trying to argue with people. We're trying to help them, right? Always have that in mind. I'm evangelizing. I'm using these apologetics because I'm trying to help somebody see what is really right in front of them. And I realize that more and more. Like I've said before, the hospital sharpens my skills. When I got a call from that guy the other day, and he says, we had a really good conversation. I'm like, I bet we did. Because that's all I do, is I just listen to the Holy Spirit, and I gently and respectfully press and help them see things, and you can see it. You can see when you're talking to somebody, sometimes they go, ding! They're like, oh, you just said something that... And that's when it's time to go like, okay, bring it back down. Don't ruin it. They're hearing something, right? So, go ahead and energize that to our evangelics. All right. Blending the Great Commission with a great defense. Leave it right there. While it's sitting there, can you plug in the sound? Make sure volume's up. Get the computer ready for sound. I got a little video I'm going to play later, and I forgot to hook up the volume. All right. In summary, well, if you were here last week, what did we talk about? Who can remember what the main discussion was? I'll give you a little bit of background. If we're going to evangelize people, sometimes we need to go all the way back and put together the picture, right? If we're going to tell them the good news, they need to know what? No, if we're going to tell them the good news, they need to first understand the bad news, right? And so that takes us back to, well, the bad news, you know, how we fell into sin. Well, that's if you believe that story, so you probably have to go back a little further, and that's where creation comes in, and that's why I spent some time on that. It's really important, and it's a great argument. The video I'm going to show you says so much, but it's a great argument when you can make it calmly, respectfully to people, and they're willing to let their mind receive what's naturally to receive, that this is created. You know, there's an innate understanding in us that we're created. We know we didn't just happen. Nobody can sit there and look at themselves in the mirror and think in their mind and go, this is just some blobby thing that's, you know. No, they know innately, I must be something. So remember that when you're talking to them, even though they're going to reject and make fun of and stuff, inside part of them is like, I know there has to be an answer. I just don't like your answer. Why don't they like your answer? Huh? Not only that, it got polluted. The message that Christ brought got polluted. It get religious. They think you're going to talk to them about being good or God will smash you with a big hammer. That's what their picture of a God is. He's got a big mallet and he's looking around the earth, go, there's one, you know. Because that's what religion has presented to them, that God's an angry God that don't like people who sin. And, you know, that couldn't be farther from the message, could it? And so that's really what they're rejecting. And that's why I love saying that I'm not religious. I love when I go to talk to somebody and they realize I'm a pastor, I'm about to say something, they go, oh, and they always, you know, put their hand up like it's going to, I'm not religious. I go, thank God, neither am I. And they go, did you just say you were a pastor? Like, did I hear that right? Yeah. And you're not religious. I'm like, no, not in the way I know what you're talking about. They're talking about religion. What's out in the world called religion. And I'm not religious. I am a child of God. I'm a born-again believer. I'm a experienced, living the gospel person. You know, I'm proof, right? So are you. And that's all you need to bring people right down to, like, hey, this is no crazy religious thing. This is what you were made for. I love saying that too. This is what you were made for. Did you ever wonder what you were made for? Well, I guess I have. Yeah, of course you have. We all have. That's what you're made for. God. Yes? Yes, and I'm glad you said that, because that's part of what I'm going to touch on tonight. Right, but what you're going to see tonight is going to give you an excellent tool in that. And that's all we need. We just need tools, right? Yeah, I didn't have time. I tried to grab my phone and I wanted to take a picture, but you'll get the same out of it by me telling you. I just saw this the other day as I was coming up at 52 on Shady Hills. I was turning right, they were turning left, and this car had a bumper sticker on it, and it said, "Praise Science." And I was like, man, I want to take a picture of that and show my church, because I keep saying, I think that's the religion that everyone's going to go, that's what we believe in. We all fall in. That's the one world religion. We can all believe the God of science. And here we have people already saying, praise science. Whether I'm right or wrong, people are adhering to it more and more. You know, we have this technology where they can just click and read all the science they want. And watch videos of people that really are convincing people, too. Very convincing, very smart, highly intellectual people that are, they don't believe in God. Well, many other very intelligent people do believe in God. So that's not evidence. And that's how quick you can dismiss that. That's not evidence. There's plenty of very smart people that do believe in God. So that argument holds no water that intelligence has anything to do with ability to believe. Yeah. Science is love. Yeah, or you know, be that person who's the bridge. And because they'll ask you after a while, well, how do you know that? Where'd you get that from? All right, so we talked about God in the cosmos. Okay, and what I mean by that is all of creation. I want to say God in the universe, but I don't want anyone to get the idea that it's like this thing out there. It's creation. But you can't say creation to people, because then immediately you're talking about God, and I don't believe in God, so I don't believe in what you're talking about. But cosmos, that sounds pretty scientific, doesn't it? Yeah. So, in summary, creation, all of creation, the universe, the cosmos, the scene, and the unseen, I always like that too. There's so much we haven't seen. There is so much we haven't seen. Every time we build a new telescope, all we prove is there still is no end. There still is nothing that appears to be a limit. You know, we have this gigantic thing out there right now, and they're going, well, same thing. Good pictures we're getting now. Well, we once had a little blur of a spiral galaxy. Now we're like, look at all the exact stars in there and planets, and they're light years away. God's so awesome to put it so far away. Just enough for us to tantalize us. We're like, what is that? You'll never find out. You'll never get there. Well, yeah, it's 7 miles. And not humans, but we have sent craft down there. Yeah. Yeah, what is that big rip call? That they don't know how deep that is. Yeah. Mariana Trench, thank you. All right, so all those things, all of creation, and you know, that's a good one that Dan points out. Even the earth itself, we haven't even got to the... We don't even really know what's in the middle of the earth. Do you know that? Actually, do you know that? We do not know what's in the middle of the earth. We have gotten down a fraction of the depth, and it's as far as we can get. And so they just surmise that there must be this molten metal. It's got to be metal because we have this magnetic force, so there has to be this ball or something. And so they don't know. And that's the truth. And I'm giving you a little bit of insight when you talk to people to get them to understand that we don't know. We have to admit that stuff. Is it important what the earth's made of? No. And God knew that and didn't tell us, because who cares? What he did tell us is important. And so when people want to get into science and stuff, that's easy to go, hey, what's the earth made of? What's in the middle of the earth? What's in the core? Well, I don't know. Nobody knows. The most brilliant scientists don't know. We can't find out. Well, so you know what a lot of people think. There's a secret alien base in the middle, and they come up through the Mariana Trench in the ocean. They do. There's people that believe that. There's aliens exist in the middle of the earth. That's where they live. That's why we don't see them everywhere. They come flying up out of the ocean, do their deeds, and go back down, and we can't get there. What? The moon. How many of us grew up thinking the moon was made out of cheese? Really? I was the only one? Come on. Every summer night, I want to take a big bite of that. All right. All of this points to a supernatural, super powerful, all-knowing designer and creator. That's what it points to. That is the most important point to make. It simply points to design, not chaos. Something didn't come out of nothing. Order didn't come out of disorder. Doesn't that make sense? And when you talk to people saying those exact words, doesn't that make sense? They kind of go, well, it kind of does. Well, right, so let your logic rule. Don't believe everything you hear. You don't believe everything you hear, do you? See, when I do those things, I'm doing what I do to people. I'll be talking to them, I'll say, you don't believe everything you hear, do you? And I'll stop like that. I'm like, no. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'll make sure I'm talking to somebody who's paying attention. It's almost common sense, isn't it? It seems logical that there must be a creator. Only Satan could question such a thing. Only Satan does question such a thing. And that's what you need to know as a believer. This doesn't need to come out, but we need to understand that he is behind all deception. He is the deceiver. That's his title. He's the deceiver. He's behind all deception. And when we're witnessing to somebody, we have to realize that when they want to take up empty arguments, they're simply deceived. And they truly believe what they hold on to as their beliefs. So that's where the respect part comes. You don't go, well, that's stupid. That's it. The conversation's over. You go, well, I guess that's one theory. You know, I sat with a guy and he said, you want to know what I think after many, many minutes of talking? He's brave enough. And I said, I do want to know what you think. He goes, I think we come from aliens. I said, oh, how's that? They seeded the planet years ago. They prepped it. They got it ready. And they dropped like human embryos. And they're watching. And I went, well, that's one theory. And inside I'm going, oh my goodness, what a nutcase. But I said, well, that's one theory, but doesn't hold any water. Where does that... We have any evidence of that whatsoever? Well, no, but I just think it's true. I said, you saw a video of it? Yeah. I'm like, okay. All right. Because there's another explanation, and it's much older than that video, and it makes a lot more sense. I believe they do. I believe that's exactly what all of it is. All supernatural phenomena, aliens, ghosts, is all demonic activity. That's all it is. And it's meant to get you thinking something other than God. If you think, oh, this guy saw a ghost, it's like, okay, he sure did. What's the big deal? Then does that cancel God? It doesn't. It doesn't mean anything. It's just simply, really, it confirms there's a spiritual world, doesn't it? The God in the cosmos argument or position, is what we really should call it, is a great witnessing or apologetic tool to use when engaging people in God talk. It's no matter when, it's good to kind of go back there to establish that, to get them thinking that, yeah, okay, I can handle that much. Maybe God did make everything. Makes sense. You know, I talked about this last week. You know, I love telling people how Moses was almost a caveman, wasn't he? And they're like, I guess. And did you know he made the whole account of creation? He wrote that down in the Bible. Oh, is that who did it? Yeah. Yeah, he wrote the first five books of the Bible stuff. And that was thousands, thousands of years ago. And did you know scientists look at that and they go, that is the order it would have to happen in? And I mean, it's amazing to see people go, really? Yeah, he was like a scientist. But he had nothing, no telescopes, no tools, nothing to measure. And they just go like, wow, yeah, that's amazing. See, remember, we want to share Jesus with everyone. That's what we want to share with them. But they may be far from needing to hear about him. We might have to go back. And so the God in the cosmos argument is really good. The God approach is easy to discuss when we come at it with knowledge, logic, and mix it with respect and gentleness. Be confident, knowledgeable. You know, some of you think or have said, almost goes over my head some of the stuff you're saying. You don't have to say everything I say. What you do need to do is do it. And then do it again. And when you do it, and you go, well, I shouldn't have said that. It was better when I said this. The next time, that's exactly what you'll wind up doing. You'd be like, I'm not going to say that this time. It doesn't work. And that's how I've developed all my witnessing ability. I'm just go do it. I'm like, oh, I think I blew that one. Do you think that blows anything for God? He's got someone else that can walk right up and fix that. He can talk to that person if, you know, but I'm doing it, and you need to be doing it, and you'll learn. And you might even get interested, as I do, but I want to read other things. I want to know, like someone will say something like, I want to read about that. I want to read about this alien seeding program. And there's a whole thing about it. People believe it. All right, so we want to do it with respect and gentleness, and most importantly, we want to give the Holy Spirit room to work in that person. Got to remember, you're just the worker, the servant, the voice. Let the Holy Spirit work when he's working. Certain times, and you'll grow in discernment. When you're talking to somebody, you'll realize that, okay, let them say something now. Yeah, Patty. So I have, and I learned from it. Too early to bring that up. Well, you know, let's go back to one thing that Jesus did. When he sent out his apostles in the 72, he said to go in, but regardless of the numbers, he said to go in into the places, and I forget how it's worded, but you know, if they accepted you, you can lodge with them. But if they didn't, what do you do? Okay. So there is a point. I don't shove it on people. I try. It's almost like fishing. Like I'll be like, you know, is there something out there? And if the person's like, get that hook out of here, I'm like, all right, I'm out of here. I'm done. I don't need to say anything else. I got kicked out of a room last week. I was talking to people. I thought things were going good. The daughter of the patient and the granddaughter. And I'm talking to the daughter of the patient. All of a sudden, granddaughter goes, excuse me. I go, yeah. She goes, can you just leave? And I was like, whoa. I mean, it hit me so by surprise because I thought that things were going well. She goes, yeah, I'm trying to spend some time with my grandmother. I don't want to hear any of that stuff. And I'm like, bye. And this one was trying to stop me. Like, oh, no, you can come back. I'm like, no. And I left. I didn't say another word. So you got to know when to kick the dust off your feet, too. You don't just keep on hammering away. Some people like to argue, don't they? Last thing you want to do is get into an argument. And I've done that. Hey, I didn't come to argue with you. I just thought I'd share some good news. Oh, I didn't. You know, they'll either back off or they're like, good. Go away. Well, but again, Don't assume that. They want to know something. It's our approach. If you're that Bible-thumping, you know, church guy, they're like, I don't want to hear from him. But if you're this person that's like, hey, I just got some great news for you. I got some special knowledge. Did you know they're not teaching you these things in school? You know, they're not. Did you know science is not a religion? Did you know it's questionable? The very nature of it is to ask questions. So it's good to know science. Matter of fact, did you know God kind of made science? He invented it. The law of gravity we discovered, but it was created by somebody, don't you think? It's great to know. Do you know how far the sun is from the earth? You don't. What grade did you say you're in? Yeah, get them. Bring them in. God made it. All right, yeah. I think he'll give you discernment, yes. I don't think it'll be like, go there. I approach everybody, and then I'll approach anybody, and then I'll let my discerning spirit let me know if this is something worth pursuing or not. And, it's part of your relationship with God, part of your being filled with the Holy Spirit, to know when and how and so on. What we're trying to do right now is we're sharpening and giving tools out and sharpening the ones you have and stuff and preparing you to do that. So yeah, your discernment, you should have a discernment. You should grow in the ability to discern things, right? Does everyone know what I'm talking about when I say discern?
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone not know? Don't be afraid. You're like, I have no idea what you mean when you say that. No? Okay. You tried. Right. You try. You know, and that's the thing is, you know, I think God always looks at your willingness to do, not your success at it. Are you willing? And what do we see every time somebody's willing in the Bible? God uses them. Little David's like, hey, I want to go throw a rock at that giant. I'm like, are you crazy? He'll slaughter you. He's like, but I want to do it. God's like, let him do it. I'll give him success. All right, let's watch this brief part. This is only part of a video. Wait a minute, let me set it up. Go ahead and hit the... It shouldn't play right away. All right, leave that right there. Brian Edward Cox. That was supposed to be all in one line at the top. Brian Edward Cox, whatever CBEFRS means, is an English physicist and former musician who is a professor of particle physics in the School of Physics and Astronomy at the University of Manchester and the Royal Society Professor for Public Engagement in Science. He has presented in many popular places like TED Talks and TV shows. Young people love him, okay? He is an atheist, and he's really sharp. He can really say things and explain things where young people watch him on TED Talks and videos and be like, of course, see? Brian knows, and that's, you know, science. You know, so listen to what Brian says.
So I don't believe in God. I don't like the antagonism that occurs. Produced by this question.
The question is,
what you can say if you're a cosmologist, what you should say is, so we know that the universe was very hot and dense 13.8 billion years ago. We don't know how it got hot and dense. We don't even know, actually, if the universe had a beginning in time. Don't know. So that to me is where the science starts for me with, I don't know.
Getting hold of the point of that.
You had a bit of an argument with the famous atheist Russell Brand, who's also a comic, as we know. But you said
that Russell's not an atheist. Russell's
not
strongly believes in
that. Is that right? Okay, I got that wrong. Sorry. You said to him that science doesn't rule out the existence of a creator.
No, but in the sense that I just said, that I think we're overstepping the mark. I do not believe there's any evidence for a creator. However, there certainly isn't no. The point is that the correct thing to say is we don't even know whether the universe had a beginning. I don't even know whether it was eternal. Nobody does. So that was the point I was making. I think we're stepping into an area where we don't really need to be.
Yeah, and I think a point, and as scientists, we need to be humble about the fact that we don't know everything. And we shouldn't pretend to know anything on a lot of questions we have.
Isn't that amazing? This guy, this is the stuff, that's right there is all you have to say. Did you know scientists admit that we have no idea if there even is a beginning?
Here we are.
Yeah. So, you know, instead of talking about what science tells us or proves, how about what science doesn't tell us? Did you know science doesn't tell us how this got started? It's just the Big Bang is the starting point of we don't know what was before that. We don't know what to say. And that's what this guy's actually, he doesn't realize what he's saying. He's an atheist. By the way, that big red A symbol in the back, that's the atheist, international atheist symbol. Just so you know, if you ever see that on cars or people's shirts, and you will, this is the growing thing, that's the international symbol for atheism. But I found that amazing that he sat there and said, and listen what he said, what a cosmologist should say. He's doing the same thing we're doing tonight. This is how you counter those religious people. What we should say is we know the universe was hot and dense, but we don't know how it got hot and dense. He just admitted something right there. We don't know how it began. He's well known. Like I said, the younger people really like him. And then I let the other guy talk for a second because listen what he said. It's only a few minutes. Play that again. Yeah, that's an atheist panel. Like they're kind of discussing science and.
I don't believe in a god. However, I don't like the antagonism that occurs.
The questions up there.
I mean, what you can say if you're a cosmologist, what you should say is so we know that the universe was very hot and dense 13.8 billion years ago.
How
do they know? We don't know how it got hot and dense. We don't even know, actually, if the universe had a beginning in time. Don't know. So that to me is where the science starts for me with I don't know.
Getting more to the point of that question. So I'm not let's you had a bit of an argument with you had a bit of an argument with the famous atheist Russell Brand, who's also a comic as we know. But you said
no, Russell's not an atheist. Russell's he's
not
strongly believes in
I got that wrong, sorry. You said to him that science doesn't rule out the existence of a creator.
No, but in the sense that I just said, that I think we're overstepping the mark. I do not believe there's any evidence for a creator. However, there certainly isn't. No, the point is that the correct thing to say is we don't even know whether the universe had a beginning. I don't even know whether it was its own. Nobody does. So that was the point I was making. I think we're stepping into an area where we don't really need to be.
Yeah, and I think a point, and as scientists, we need to be humble about the fact that we don't know anything. And we shouldn't pretend to know anything on a lot of questions.
You know, I'm going to... Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't want to admit it, and I'm wrong about that symbol. I've seen it before, and that's actually their question and answer symbol. It's something like that. I just looked it up. It's close to that. It's not that, so forget what I said about that. But more importantly, what they're talking about. Now, Dan brought up something, like he said, we know that the universe was hot and dense 13.5 billion years ago. And Dan said, well, how do we know that? We do know a lot from science. We do know that there seems to be a beginning point. It appears by what we know that things are moving outward. Okay? All these things... Huh?
Expanding.
It is. And it is. And that doesn't go against the Bible. That doesn't go against God. None of that does. And that's where you can come into agreement with people and say, well, yeah, did you know the Bible says that God spreads out the heavens? And that's what I always do. He spreads out the heavens. And what you're talking about, they go, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. He's still spreading. I don't know how big this is. But there is a starting point. We know there's a starting point. The Bible tells us it was when? In the beginning. It's the starting point. In the beginning. God created. No, he said, we don't know why or how it was. Yeah, how did it get hot and dense? And that's a great little piece to use when people want to talk about science. Well, rather than argue about what science shows, did you know science doesn't know what happened before the Big Bang, how that got there? Did you know that? Do you know science doesn't answer those kind of questions? They just take from a point they can see, but they can't see beyond that because... Well, the Bible fills that gap in. Something was there. It must have always existed. Right. Right. And so, you know, what I want you to take away from this little video clip is that science admits things they don't know. And we need to capitalize on that and not on try to argue what they want to argue. This is like this. Yeah, that's fine. But did you know science doesn't answer questions about this? And what we're going to go and do next, morality. Science doesn't touch that at all. And that's a great argument for God. Whose hand went up? Frank?
Intelligent as they all claim to be or appear, the bottom line is a whole bunch of them are all lost.
They are. They have committed... the good brain God gave them to worthless things. And the Bible talks about that all over the place. They, being wise, they became fools. They could have... That's right. All right, so that's how the cosmos points to God. Next, we're going to look at how morality points to God. Morals. What are morals? Ask a person if rape is wrong or... is murder evil? Or is torture wicked? What do you think they're going to say? You think it depends? You don't think... Okay, you're going to the fringe, but that's fine. You're going to the fringe. The majority of people will simply go, of course it is. Yes, murder's wrong. Murder's evil. Torturing someone's raping, yeah, it's wrong. But why is it wrong? Why... And this is something I have done with atheists. Why is it wrong? Why do you think it's wrong? Because it just is wrong. What makes it wrong? These questions can't be satisfactorily answered by the atheist. There's, without God, there's no ground or belief for... It does become subjective, is what you're saying. It depends. And so that's what happens. There's no... ground or a belief in objective morality. We all agree that that's wrong. You know, our society might be crumbling right now and people might think different. We're starting to see it, but let's just go back, you know, two decades. Everybody would say, yeah, that's wrong. You think rape is wrong? Absolutely wrong. Is murder wrong? Should put him to death. You know, everybody would agree. Maybe we're getting farther now. And the problem is, we've talked about this before, is there's not any absolute right and wrong in the world now. It becomes subjective, huh?
Postmodern.
Yeah, the postmodern, I guess, as it's called, but certainly post-Christian. You know, now that God's out of the way, everything becomes what we think it is, or what we want it to be. So the moral reality is a good apologetics point. Why are we moral people? What makes us think that? And I've had people give, you know, well, we were raised that way, your parents told you. Okay, so let's say your parents didn't. Let's say this kid was raised by wolves and he just jumps on a girl and rapes her and then he kills her, breaks her neck. Is that okay? Well, no. But it was for him. But is it okay? It's still not okay. We still go, that's still wrong. It doesn't matter why he did it. The fact remains he did it. Right? Yeah. Well, we're getting there. Yeah. See, now, you're doing exactly what I don't want you to do. Don't jump right into the finish line and have them go, I don't believe in your God, so that's out the door. You want to be able to help them see what they're saying. Right? Now, this isn't to say that atheists deny the existence of evil. Some do deny it, but most of them don't. They go, yeah, there's right and wrong. there's evil. When I think personally, when people want to argue that strongly, like, no, I don't even think there's evil, like, oh, what's his name? I'll get to it in a minute. Richard Dawkins. Yeah, none of that exists either. There's no good, there's no bad. Imagine that. You have to say that if you want to deny God. Otherwise, you're saying something. And that's the whole point of this morality talk. If you think that there is, then there's something there. So most of them don't deny the existence of evil. It's also not true that atheists cannot do good works for other people. Right? So there's another approach I like to make to people. Do you ever do good for people? Of course I do. And they'll go on to tell you every time. Sometimes it's a can of worms. What, do you ever do any volunteer work or good for people? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do. And they go on with tell you all the things they do. I mow my neighbor's lawn. He's 92. I do this. And you're like, that's good. You're a really good people. Like all other human beings, atheists have the capacity to choose to do good moral things. It's in them. And there's the thing you can bring out. Well, you obviously have that in you. How do you think you have that in you? A lot of times they want to go back and credit their parents. But your parents can't make you moral now. They might have taught you that, but you can reject it. Why don't you? Why is it something you adhere to and hold on to? Is there a right or wrong? The question isn't whether an atheist can know or do good. The question is whether the word good has any objective meaning to them. Does good really mean good? Or how does it mean good? And this is where the God argument comes in. If there's not a good and holy God who promotes his holiness, then where do we get it from? And that's a question that you have to bring out, a question that, that's the beginning, how to walk into it. Get them thinking, how is it? Why are we? It can't begin with your parents or your family or your upbringing, because we know people that aren't raised that way, and they do good. We know people that were raised that way, and they do bad. You know, some of the worst serial killers were good Christian kids when they were young. They went to church and Sunday school and everything. And they turned out to be some of the most awful people we've ever... How is that? Because there's good and there's evil. And so it's easy to get people to start seeing that and agreeing with you that there certainly is good and evil. So why is that? Why is there a good and evil? Why isn't everyone just... Why don't we just raise everybody good and within a couple generations we'll all be good? Why not? Right? That makes sense, right? It should work. Why? Because there's evil. And see, you can get people to conclude that on their own. Well, because there's just something's wrong. Yes. And the Bible addressed that. Matter of fact, this is how it begins in the Garden of Eden. And maybe there's your launching point. God shows us everything was perfect and good. He created it, provided everything, put two people in there. And somebody, the serpent, I hate saying snake and stuff, but Satan came along and gave them the idea that maybe God wasn't telling them the truth. Suggested that a perfect and holy God was misleading or lying to them, and that's what allowed evil to come in as soon as they accepted that thought. Now, the reason that story's in there is because we would all have done that. That's the truth. And so it's easy to understand how we fell, and that's, you know, the Bible explains how we fell, how evil got into the world. So evil's in the world. So why, this is what you'll often run into. Well, so why is God letting it go on? Yeah. That's down the road, but that's going to be a logical, why is God letting it go on? Hopefully you have answers right now you're thinking of. You know, why is he? I guess we'll have to talk about that now. I didn't think about it. Why is God letting it go on? Of course he is. It's going on and on. Yes, we do. He's letting it play out. That's what I always tell people. He's letting it play out. He said, in the beginning, started like this, at the end of the book of Revelation, it says, amen, it finishes. So he's letting the whole thing play out. In the middle of it, he sent his only begotten son to save those who didn't want to be any part of that evil anymore, who wanted a way out, and they couldn't get out, because none of us could get out on our own. There was no way for us to fix it or get out unless we trust Jesus, unless we call on Him, accept the gift of salvation through Him, what He did on the cross. Sometimes that's all it takes, and they're like, oh, I've never heard that before. I've never heard it put that way. So you always got to look for that possible opening and closing. The atheist acknowledges that in the absence of God, if you take God out of it, morality is an illusion, something we made up. We just expect people to be good, and we teach them to be good, and so on. And I always go back to that argument, why don't we just then begin raising every generation good? And then we'll wipe out evil. It'll be gone. And that won't happen. Even in this country, this fully blown Christian nation after World War II, boy, we were all going to church and working, and what happened? How are we here 70 years later killing people randomly and mass gun shooting? What is going on? It doesn't work. There's a morality issue. The fact that there is morality, though, is what points to God. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's our new ministry. I got back there. It's motocross. That was pretty cool, though. All right. Yeah. What? People ignore traffic laws? They spend all that money on those big white signs that say limit? Terrible. Right, right. So, yes. All right. If there's no God, it follows what Richard Dawkins says, that there is, at bottom, no evil and no good. There's no such thing. But we know there is. So this is a good corner to back an atheist into. Is that what you're saying? Well, I'm not. I'm not that terrible. There's no good, there's no evil. I mean, if someone really believes that, you better run. That you might be getting killed because they have no morals at all. They have no recourse. Oh, Dawkins, yeah. Yeah, they use words good and evil, but they have a totally different meaning, no objective meaning. Okay. Yeah, they all did whatever the dictates of their heart. What do people like to say about how they're not that bad because I... Right? I'll walk somebody into saying that. I'm like, oh, so you think that's a bad thing? Well, yeah. Yeah, it is. Murder's evil. So it's bad. All right, I'm just going to have to stop there. I'm going to respect the time. I had a lot more, but that'll get us started on morality. Morality points to a God of holiness, right? The lawgiver is what I'm going to get at. We have moral law because there's a lawgiver. You can't just have moral law. When did man come out of the cave and just decide that there had to be good and bad? Like, what level was that? You know? And I always like to talk about men. Men wrote the Bible, right? Man, if man created laws, man was the caveman, it'd still be okay to club your wife. It'd still be okay to whack her on the head and have her your way with her. And it's not. Why is it not? Because we have morals and we go, that's not right. I say that about the Bible and people always, a bunch of men wrote that to control people. I'm like, you know what? You're a man. I'm a man. If you wrote that book, would you put in there you have to have one wife? Heck no. Nor would I put in there, you know what it would say? A good godly woman works and prepares food and keeps the house clean while the husband meditates. Sounds like the Quran, doesn't it? Yeah, I know, because that was written by one man. No, the obvious truth is there is a moral lawgiver. And that's why there's morality in the world. Even with some of the most terrible people, they have limits how far they'll go. So that's a good argument or position to take when talking to people about God. Any questions or comments on that portion? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence. Though we didn't look into your word, we discussed thoroughly, Lord, how we can better represent you, how we can be ambassadors for Christ by the way we live, by our gentleness and respect, by our care for others. Lord, you have taught us to love all others like you do, to desire as well that they don't perish, but that they come to repentance. So as we discuss these things, we just ask that you would continue to speak to us, the Holy Spirit training us and reminding us what your word says and how we can better convey that to the people that we come into contact with. We want to be a church that's reaching out, reaching into darkness, reaching out to the lost, and making every effort to show them the truth, the life, the way, and the light. So thank you, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.